you know, his work to try and bring as many people with him into his eternal destiny, which is that lake of fire, you know. And so we need to be praying, and because there's power in prayer. But you know, God is good, God is faithful, and He honors His promises, as we read right throughout the Word of God. So this morning I'm going to be talking on prayer. And last week we started a series on righteous living. And I spoke on repentance last week, and I think it's always a good reminder, even as we are Christ followers, that we can easily start to drift, you know. And with repentance means just a change of mind and a change of direction. And so we always need to be coming back to the Father, always need to be coming back, you know, to be walking close with God. So if you weren't here last week, is it on podcast? It should be on podcast, so you'll be able to go onto iTunes or Spotify to hear that. But I'm going to continue on with that series this morning, Righteous Living. We're going to talk about prayer. Now, I came across an article during the week, which happened a couple of months ago, and it goes like this. Two high school students from Florida found themselves in a dangerous situation while attempting to swim across the St. Augustine Inlet. Despite underestimating the distance and getting caught in the outgoing tide, both Tyler Smith and Heather Brown tried to swim toward a red buoy. Buoy? Buoy? How do you say that? Buoy. They tried to swim toward a red buoy for safety, only to realise that they were drifting further away from it. Exhausted and frightened, they decided to focus on staying afloat, and they prayed for a miracle while waiting to be rescued. Meanwhile, friends on the beach noticed their absence and they called for help. Now, Heather's mother, who was at that time was helping at the church, received the distressing news, and they all began praying for her daughter's safety. Now, the teenagers, Tyler and Heather, were exhausted after fighting rough seas for over 90 minutes. But they continued to pray, even though they were starting to lose hope of being rescued. Last resort, you know, pray. Suddenly, Tyler and Heather heard the sound of a boat engine. They desperately waved and screamed, hoping to catch the attention of the boat's passengers. The boat, however, wasn't coming for them. The owner, Eric Wagner, and his three-man crew were headed up the coast when they made a last-minute decision to take their 53-foot yacht for a run in the open ocean. Wagner said the windows were up and the wind was strong and there were a lot of waves. The engines were loud. We had to talk loudly to hear one another on the boat. It was nearly impossible to hear someone out in the water. Then we thought we heard a scream. We thought we heard something, and we all stopped talking and looked around. And then Troy was behind the wheel at the time, and he starts cranking the wheel over, and he said, "There's people back there." So the boat changed direction and rescued Tyler and Heather. Now, by the time those in the boat had pulled the exhausted teenagers aboard, they had drifted 2 miles off the coast. When Heather got into the boat, she looked Eric Wagner in the eye and she says, "God is real. He has saved us. He's just answered our prayer." To which Eric responded, "That's crazy." He says, "You want to know the name of my boat? My boat's called the Amen." Overwhelmed with emotion, both Tyler and Heather broke down in tears, realizing the significance of the name of the boat, and believed that God had truly intervened. He'd answered their prayers and he basically stopped them from drowning. How cool is that? It's a cool story about the power of prayer. It's a cool story about God who not only hears prayers but answers prayer. Got a couple of quotes here I'd like to share with you this morning. Martin Luther says, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Billy Graham, he says, "When we pray, we are opening our hearts to God's transforming power. Prayer changes things. Most importantly, it changes us." A.W. Tozer, "Prayer at its highest is a two-way conversation. And for me, the most important part is listening to God's replies." Abraham Lincoln says, "I've been driven many times upon my knees in prayer by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. And then John Howard, ex-PM of Australia, he says, I pray every day, and I think everybody who underestimates the power of prayer is not understanding the way in which many people draw comfort and sustenance from it. So prayer. This morning I want to talk about prayer. Jesus said many things about prayer, and we're going to look at a passage in Matthew 6 and kind of discover what does Jesus say in this passage about the topic of prayer. So if you've got your Bibles with you, go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 5. And Matthew chapter 6, it's found in the Sermon on the Mount. So this is Jesus' first sermon, and he discusses many topics in that sermon. And one of them is prayer. So when you, oh, we probably got it on the screen, we have. Is everybody going okay this morning? I pray that this message will encourage you. Let's actually pray for the word this morning. I don't think we have. And since we're talking about prayer, let us pray. Lord, we just pray this morning that your word, Lord, as the Bible says, that it's powerful and effective, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, that it divides the soul and the spirit. And I just pray, God, this morning that your word would go forth and it won't return to you void. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power that's in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word that can come and crush our mindsets, Lord, and can come and bring transformation into our hearts. So I just pray this morning as we sit under your word, we sit under the teachings of Jesus, the anointed one, the Son of God, God in flesh, Lord, we just pray that you would just speak to us, that you would encourage us, inspire us, Lord, even challenge us, I pray. Lord, we want to leave these doors different to the way we came in. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just... you would speak through me and that you would have your way. You will say the things you want to say and that you will say them in your way, and just remove me out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so let's have a look at what Jesus says about prayer in this particular passage. Verse 5, Jesus says, when you pray, interesting, when you pray. Can you all say that, when you pray? Yeah, that's okay. I'm glad I'm not a conductor and I'm not part of like this team here, because it would be just all over the place. But if we can just say it on the count of three. One, two, three. When you pray. Interesting, Jesus doesn't say if you pray, but he says when you pray. And with the Sermon of the Mount, as you read chapter 5, verse 1 or verse 2, Jesus goes up the mountain, and as he's about to give his sermon, he turns to the disciples. And he's actually speaking to the disciples here. So he's speaking to the followers of Jesus, not just to the open crowd. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in their synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is their reward they will ever get. But when you pray, let's play that again. When you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Verse 7, when you pray, let's say that again, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, don't babble on as the people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And then Jesus says in verse 9, pray like this. So he says, when you pray, now pray like this. And this is where we get the beautiful teaching on the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Oh my gosh. That last statement, that last verse. That's just like a slap across the chops. We're not going to talk about forgiveness today, but that's actually a really good verse to meditate on. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that today. That can be left for another day. But interestingly, in this passage, Jesus says on three occasions, when you pray. Not if you pray, or even if you decide to pray one day, it says, no, when you pray. And so when looking at this teaching or this passage of Scripture, you kind of get the idea that Jesus' expectation for his disciples, that they would be people of prayer. The expectation that Jesus had of his disciples, his followers, that they would be disciplined in prayer. When you pray, don't just do that in public where people can see you, but go behind a closed door, go into their own private space and pray to God. And now Jesus is not actually talking about don't pray in public or don't come together and gather in a prayer meeting, but what Jesus is saying is that it's the motive of the heart. What is the motive of your heart when you come to prayer or to a prayer meeting? Don't pray to get pats on the back by people. Oh, that was a great prayer. That was awesome. Don't pray in a group setting to be validated by people, to get acceptance by people, because at the end of the day, prayer's between you and God, not between you and anyone else, if that makes sense. I mean, unless you're praying for someone else. But really, our motivation, our motive to pray, is it's between us and God. And unfortunately, I think it's probably one of the reasons why many of us don't pray in public is because we're scared of what people might think. And I know when I first became a Christian, I was always worried about, firstly, are my prayers spiritual? Secondly, what if I say something that is completely wrong? Totally, like, theologically terrible. And then thirdly, I was always worried about, this is really weird, but always worried about, particularly after I first became a Christian, I was worried about swearing when I was praying. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to swear. Like, I used to have a bit of colourful language before I became a Christian, and all of a sudden I had a dramatic conversion, and all of a sudden it's like, man, I don't want to pray because what happens if a bad word comes out? But see what, prayer is between you and the Lord. You don't pray to impress anybody else. And I think this is what Jesus is getting here. In fact, if you look through the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus touches on the issue of the heart or the motive of the heart. Because he goes on, I think earlier he says, you know, the law says you don't commit adultery. Like, you don't commit the act of adultery. But Jesus says, I say, don't look at another person with lust in your heart. Because if you look at him with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So in effect, so Jesus is actually trying to probe the issue of the heart, the motive of the heart. You know, don't go out and premeditate to go and kill somebody, murder somebody. That's what the law says. But he says, I say, don't be angry in your heart. Because if you're angry in your heart, then you've committed murder in your heart. So Jesus is actually really, he's getting to the point of the heart, the motive of the heart, the issue of the heart. So don't pray to impress others. Because prayer is not between us and anyone else, it's between us and God. Just pray whatever's on your heart. And if I can encourage anyone here who's a bit worried about praying unspiritual prayers or praying like non-theological prayers in a group setting, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because it's not between you and anyone else. It's between you and God. And God doesn't, I don't think God minds. He just wants to hear what's on your heart. And don't allow fear to stop you from praying and sharing what's on your heart to God. If that makes sense. If I can encourage you with that. But the one thing about Jesus in this passage though, and when Jesus does teach, when Jesus teaches, he never, you know, it's funny, when I get up here and kind of do some teaching or preaching, it's always in a lecture style. And even though Jesus might be lecturing here in Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, but he always demonstrates his teaching through action. So Jesus never just says, do as I say, not as I do. But he always says, do as I say, because this is what I already am doing. If that makes sense. So for the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke, it's in chapter 11 and it's in response to a question. And the question is this, as the question comes from the disciples, and the disciples says to Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Then in Luke's Gospel, he goes into the Lord's Prayer. The reason why the disciples asked Jesus to teach us how to pray is because they saw him praying. They saw the discipline of prayer in Jesus' life. And maybe they were kind of marrying up, you know, Jesus' prayer life and his miracle-working power. And there was something in that, you know. And we read in John's Gospel that Jesus would always go to an isolated place to pray, that he would only do what he sees the Father doing, and he would hear what God's put on Jesus' agenda for the day. And so the disciples are probably marrying this all up. And it's like, you know what, Jesus, you go away a lot to pray, and all of a sudden you're doing all these incredible miracles. And, you know, you're just showing up at these places unannounced at just the right moment, like in John 4 with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And maybe the disciple says, well, Jesus, teach us how to pray, because we don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray, because you're doing it all the time. You're so disciplined in that. And so in Luke's Gospel, he goes on to teach them how to pray, which is the Lord's Prayer. Sorry about that. I just waffled on. That wasn't part of my notes. But anyway, he goes into this passage of what we know as Scripture as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is just really a guide that Jesus teaches his disciples to follow when it comes to prayer. So if I can just quickly go through that, and I want to focus on that this morning, but just quickly go through that guide, because I think it will be helpful for those who struggle praying because you don't know what to pray. And we've all been there. You sit down, you kind of think, I'm going to spend some time in prayer, but what do I pray? I know something good for me is always that ACTS acronym, you know, going through that ACTS acronym, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Well, Jesus, he gives some guidelines here that I think are the best guidelines. So very quickly, if you've got a pen and pad, you might want to just write these down. That might help you. But otherwise, let's just go through it. So first step when Jesus says pray like this, first step is to give praise and adoration to God. Praise and adoration to God. Give worship to God. He starts off saying, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, or hallowed be your name. So it's important, then, when we start praying, come to God in praise and adoration. And secondly, pray for God's will to be done. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So pray, give praise and adoration to God, and then pray for God's will to be done. Don't pray your will, but pray God's will. How often do we pray our own will? But the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches, says, don't pray your will, but pray that God's will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Thirdly, pray for your needs, but also pray for the needs of others. Jesus says, give us today the food we need, or give us today our daily bread. He doesn't say, give me today, give me the food I need. No, he says, give us the food we need. Give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. So it's important that we're praying not only for our own needs, but the needs of others around us. Fourthly, confess any sin and ask for forgiveness. Verse 12, he says, forgive us our sins. And we regularly need to ask God to search our hearts to see if there's anything in there that offends him, if there's any sin in our heart that grieves him. So we need to be confessing our sin, but we also need to be asking God to forgive our sin. Fifthly, he says, forgive others. As we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. So forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. So it's important that we forgive others as disciples and followers of Christ. And then lastly, it's about guidance, it's about safety, it's about protection. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one, or lead us not into temptation. So we're asking God to lead us today. Lead us not into temptation. Now, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Don't allow us to fall into temptation, but lead us. Lead us to where you want us to go. Protect us, provide for us. So they're just a couple of quick, short guidelines there that Jesus was teaching on when it came to the Lord's Prayer. Give adoration, worship, honour to God. Pray God's will, not your will. I've got to stop praying about that red Ferrari that I've been after. 6.5 litre V12. Nah, not sure that's God's will. Pray God's will. Pray for not only your needs, but also for the needs of others. You know, ask God to show any sin in your heart and confess and ask for forgiveness of that sin. Forgive others that sin against you. And then ask God to guide you every day, that he would not lead you down a path where you're being tempted. God won't tempt us, but that he will stop us, I suppose, leading ourselves into temptation. But that he would lead us to the places where he wants us to be and he wants us to go. But I want to kind of add my two bobs worth into what Jesus just kind of shared there in Matthew chapter 6. And I've put a question down, and I want to answer this question in three points. The question is, why should we pray? Why should we pray? When Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, the expectation is that we would be followers of him and we'd be disciplined in prayer. Well, why should we pray? Well, number one of the reasons why we should pray is that our prayer is about our relationship with God. Prayer is about a relationship and our relationship with God. Wayne Grudem, an author who wrote a big, thick book about 2,000 pages thick, systematic theology. It's an interesting book. But he says this: prayer brings us into a deeper fellowship with God. And God loves us and delights in our fellowship with him. So prayer brings us into a deeper fellowship with God, and God delights in us. He loves us. And he particularly delights in the fact that we fellowship with him. And we know that in any relationship, communication is so important. Whether it be speaking, whether it be listening, whether it be engaging with one another. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus actually brings God down to a personal level. And the personal level is this: he calls him our Father. It's not just a God who is distant, but it's a God who has come close, a God who is with us, who walks with us like a father. Like a father, you know, a father in biblical times was one who would provide, the one who would protect. But we all know if we had a good relationship with our own father would be one that, you know, we would always want to sit with and talk to and share our heart with. And that's exactly how Jesus has brought God down to a personal level, that he is like a father to us. In fact, he brings him down even further. He uses this word, and so does Paul, uses this word Abba, Abba Father. You know, and Jesus is not prophesying about a 1970s pop band, you know, that may have sang some cool songs for some. But this term Abba is an Aramaic term, and the equivalent English is like daddy or like papa. There's this sense of intimacy and closeness that many of us have had with our own father, with our own dad. And just like a kid, when dad comes home from work and a kid would run to the front door or whoever and just lift up their arms and, you know, cry out dad, and dad picks the kid up. That's exactly the kind of imagery we get with God our Father. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell to the disciples. God's not distant. He's not absent, but he's someone who is close, someone who is personal. And he desires to have a relationship with each and every one of us. He loves it when we're in fellowship with him. And the way we can be in fellowship with him is through prayer. Prayer is about a relationship and not a religious duty. It is about communication, speaking and listening. It is about being yourself and sharing your heart with God. Be yourself and share your heart with God. It's okay to tell God that you're angry. It's okay to tell God that you're disappointed. And it's okay to tell God, that you're angry with him, and that you're disappointed with him. We see throughout Scripture and certain books of the Bible where prophets, you know, really express their frustration, even anger at God. And that's okay. God just wants to hear what's on your heart. There's nothing wrong with anger. It's just, it needs to be processed in a healthy way, not in an unhealthy way. And that's where we get wrong when it comes to anger. So I just want to challenge you this morning. Don't just pray superficial or mechanical prayers, but seek a deeper and more authentic connection with God and just allow the prayers just to flow out of your heart. When it comes to prayer, and if you're praying in a personal setting or whether you're praying in a public setting, don't worry about what other people think. It's got nothing to do with what anyone else thinks. It's prayers between you and God. Just worry about what he thinks. And you know what he thinks? He's all for you and not against you. He loves you. Yeah, we get it wrong. We trip up. That's okay. As long as we keep moving forward each day and we're not the same as what we were, you know, 12 months ago, that we've progressed. Is that okay?
Yeah,
prayer is our source of help, number two. Who knows? We're human. We're only human. And we're supposed to make mistakes. I think that was Billy Joel. My music tastes are not real good, are they? But, you know, we're human. We're fragile. There are just certain things we just can't do on our own. And in fact, we've been created by God. He has created us for a relationship. And in fact, he's created us to be dependent on him. And I think one of the reasons why we don't pray, another reason why we don't pray is because of our own self-sufficiency, our own self-dependency. You know, we do our own thing in our own time, in our own way type of thing. And I think that gets in the road of us just sharing our heart with God. God created us to be dependent on him. Give us our daily bread, you know, provide for us every day. Yet sometimes self-sufficiency and self-dependency gets in the road. Think of the story of Tyler and Heather, the story I read earlier. I mean, apparently the article says that they were actually quite good swimmers, but it was only a matter of time before the ocean was going to take their lives. Doesn't matter how good a swimmer they were. There's only so much time that you can tread water, swim, try and stay afloat in the ocean before the ocean takes your life. They had to resort to prayer. Prayer. There was no way. There was no way they could save themselves. They needed God's intervention and they needed God's help. I read an article also during the week from Psychology Today, from December 2019, and it has the idea that prayer has a positive impact on mental health. Research that was completed indicated that prayer is positively correlated with a range of mental health outcomes. So a couple of quotes out of the article. It says, one large population study led by Professor Tyler Vanderweel found that young adults who prayed daily tended to have fewer depressive symptoms and higher levels of self-satisfaction, self-esteem and positive effects in comparison to those who never pray. Another study examined the perspective of over 2,000 adults with mental illness in California, finding that over 80% agreed or strongly agreed that spirituality was important to their mental health. And the conclusion to the article goes like this. It says, prayer can have a positive impact on recovery from mental illness and also on the well-being of people without mental illness. So how's that? It can actually help people with mental illness. It can actually help people who don't have it. That's good. Additionally, these studies indicate that regular prayer can be especially important for people who are lonely or socially isolated. Power of prayer can help us in our time of need. We are human, we are fragile. And prayer is, in a sense, our source of help. Thirdly, prayer is a weapon against our enemy. So why should we pray? Prayer is about a relationship with God, right? It deepens our relationship with God. It deepens our fellowship with God. Also, it's a source of help. I mean, God is our help, but it's through prayer that God responds. Thirdly, prayer is our weapon against our enemy. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on all of God's armour so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Then Paul goes down a couple of verses, and then he says this in verse 18. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times. So Paul is introducing this warfare that the body of Christ is in. We do not wage war against flesh and blood. Yet sometimes, you know, that's how we come out of our flesh. We wage war with one another. But our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then he goes on to tell the church to put on the armor of God. And once you've put on the armor of God, then he goes and says that pray in the Spirit at all times. You know, can I encourage you to be praying at all times? Pray in the Spirit. If you have a heavenly language, pray in the Spirit at all times. It is a weapon we can use against our enemy. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Praying for one another is important. Praying for all believers is important. Praying for the church. Praying for our community. Because we're in a spiritual fight, we're in a spiritual battle. Billy Graham says, someone has said that the devil doesn't need to think up any new tricks because the old ones still work. It's true. Lust, pride, power, discouragement, doubt, money, escapism, pleasure, hate, anger, jealousy, selfishness. The ways he attacks us are almost endless. If one temptation doesn't work, he'll just try another, and then he'll just keep on trying. You know, when Jesus was about to be arrested, the night before he was crucified, he went into this thing called his high priestly prayer. He prayed. And he prayed for his disciples because his disciples were coming into a day where they were going to face a battle that they had never faced before. Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you, Peter. We know what happened to Peter the next day when he denied Jesus. And we know when Daniel prayed in Daniel 10, when he prayed, his prayers were heard. As soon as his prayers left his mouth, they were heard in heaven, and God responded by sending angelic activity. And that angelic activity got caught in the heavenlies with the Prince of Persia for 21 days. There was a massive fight going on. Do you know? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But we do not fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We don't know what's going on in the unseen realm unless God reveals it to us. But know this, when we pray, God responds and he sends angels on assignment that are fighting in the heavenlies, fighting a battle in the heavenlies. Who knows? There might be a battle going on right today in the heavenlies over Circular Head. Who knows why there's been such a church decline over so many years in Circular Head? Who knows what's going on in the spirit realm? We don't know unless God reveals it. But we need to continue to pray and continue to pray for breakthrough and continue to pray for our community, that our community would be revived. And who knows, a lot of it could be happening up there in the heavenlies. Might just get the band to come up.